24/7 World Radio, Watch Into Prayer. And we're back. Back at it this beautiful February 9th, 2023. Thank you for tuning in, Watch Into Prayer. Let's pray. 24/7 World Radio, Watch Into Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your grace and mercy and for your steadfast kindness and truthfulness and righteousness. Thank you for your word, which doesn't change. I pray that you open up the eyes of the blind. I pray that you please humble those that need to be humbled, O Lord. I pray that you draw them to faith and repentance. And I pray that you please enable them to draw. I pray that you please draw them to yourself, Lord, and enable them to believe on thee. I thank you, Lord God, for the truth. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for preserving it. And I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, amen. 24/7 World Radio, Watch and Prayer. And let's see. Today is February the 9th, 2023. And let's see. Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. Oh, what's this? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Ah, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, who pray tell is that? And so on. Of course, the devil, being the deceiver, going forth in the earth, deceiving, leading astray, misleading, misguiding. He's the king of misinformation. He'll give you a very forced perspective, a prescripted perspective with a couple talking points, with a very narrow view, to the ignorance of a treasure trove of contradictory information. Cross-examination is never allowed with Satan. You see. And these points are reiterated over and over and over again. And that's the general gist of how much of the misinformation has gone. What we call now the mainstream is actually misinformation. So when the truth starts to circulate, Satan has a panic attack, and he calls the truth misinformation. Right? You've seen this dynamic. It's only been ratcheted up and up and up in the last couple of years. I hope that more and more people are catching on to the things that we've been saying here at this radio station for years and years and years and years. When they say things like woke, well, we were talking about that back in 2015, about the communism and its cultural influence. We spent the entire year of 2015. If you can get the audios for Watch Unto Prayer from 2015, you will hear all kinds of information that I covered on Marxism and communism. And it's just one of the many systems that Satan has erected to misinform and to lie and deceive. And you see that now in many different ways. So that's what he's been doing since the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. The Bible calls him the God of truth. And his word sets you free. And so what do lies do? Lies bind you. They bind you. They bind you to continue to perpetuate the lies. They bind you to continue to make additional bad conclusions and bad decisions based on your pre-commitment to things that are not true. They bind you. They lead you into sin. I mean, we can go through and establish all these points in the scriptures. So it's very important. And so that's just the foundational crux of the issue when you start talking about Romanism or Eastern Orthodoxy or any pseudo-Christian movement. You compare it to what the Word of God has to say about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his deity, his exclusive ability to save, his highness, his royalty, and his majesty, and his very nature as not only a great and praiseworthy teacher, not merely a powerful man, not merely one who is in control of the winds and the waves and the sea, the various systems of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and various others, even Islam, they will, you know, give some credit to where credit is due in name only. But they will not assign the position of deity, the status of deity, that is God manifest in the flesh, having the ability, what, Colossians 1:16, to be the creator, having the ability, what, to forgive sins, having the ability to sit at the right hand of God the Father, having the ability to say that he is one with the Father, having the ability to receive worship from his followers. This is the Jesus of reality. He's not merely a teacher. He's not merely a miracle worker or a prophet telling you the future. He's not merely one who is given a message from God, although he is all of these things. And he is not merely a religious man, religion. Yeah. He's not merely a priest, although he is. Priests offer sacrifices to God. And Hebrews describes him as the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so on and so on. He's not merely all of these things, but he's so much more. And you can see that described in the scriptures about how he calms the sea. And there's that passage in Psalms. It says, he treadeth upon the waves of the sea. And here comes Jesus walking on the waves of the sea. And who can forgive sins but God only? And of course, Thomas in the book of John there towards the end, I think it's or Luke, he sees the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he doesn't know what to say. My Lord and my God. And Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas. Jesus doesn't set him straight and say, well, Thomas, I'm a good teacher, but let's lay off the deity talk here. That's taking it too far, Thomas. No, Jesus doesn't say that. He allows Thomas to say things to him like, my Lord and my God. Any man that allows you to call him God is quite full of himself, quite blasphemous. Unless, of course, that man is the Lord Jesus Christ and he is God. Unless he's telling you the truth, that he is the exclusive way of salvation, and that he offers forgiveness of sins personally, that he died for you personally, was buried, and rose again the third day from the dead. That message and the confession that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, that's being able to understand that and grasp that is really a work of God in the heart of a man. Because the sin burden gets involved there. It's not merely just, oh, well, I've heard that. Oh, well, that's the right answer. Sure, I'll say that. You know, I'll raise my hand and say that. The rubber meets the road when it starts to touch your personal sins. When your sins start to be unmasked by what's called the law of God. And so one of the great things about the scriptures is it glorifies God. It glorifies Lord Jesus Christ. And it exposes all men everywhere. And even the authors of the Bible get exposed, which increases its trustworthiness because even the very authors are dragged through the dirt of their own sins. David gets exposed. He wrote many Psalms. Peter gets exposed. The sins of Paul, the sins of, I mean, all these men, right? We're part of the problem, all of us. Even the very authors of the Bible itself. Even Moses has his dirty laundry aired. His moments of unbelief, weakness, same thing as Abraham. All of them. Of course, Jesus Christ never had any sins. Even Daniel was a sinner. Although nothing in the scriptures is explicitly negative about Daniel. Very interesting. But nevertheless, he was a sinner too. So was Mary, sinner. Mary's a sinner. The mother of Jesus Christ, sinner. And needed a savior. She even said so herself. And so the real Jesus of the scriptures is like a good physician. And isn't just merely some religious figure to, you know, patronize.
Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus.
This is touching the personal life. And you can see that, as the Bible describes, you'll know them by their fruits. And you see John, the Apostle John, I'm sorry, the John the Baptist, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. What he's saying is, if you're truly sorry for your sins, if you're truly humble and truly contrite, if you truly believe that you have sinned against the Holy God and that you've actually done what Adam and Eve did, and that is break God's law, trespass against him in your conscience, ignore the warnings of your conscience, and do it anyway. You did it your way. The purpose of God's law is to expose you. Deception, lies. When you owe people the truth, get yourself out of a sticky situation. Pleasure, unending pleasure when you shouldn't, when you cross lines in order to satisfy your own lusts. And you hope nobody finds out. That sort of thing goes along with sin, hoping nobody finds out. Gluttony, stuffing yourself with stuff that you shouldn't, not having self-control when you should, whether regardless of the substance that you're talking about. Of course, that feeds into greed and also piggybacks off of idolatry and covetousness. And then there's the more vicious kind where you want to lash out and attack other people, either because they're convicting you or not giving you what you want. The flesh lusteth to envy. The flesh is a raging, ungodly, sin-bent thing. We are all sinners, the Bible says, defiled in sin. And God's law, the job of God's law, is to show us our sins like a mirror, like a mirror. And so it shows us for who we really are. So if you truly are repentant, or you truly are struck with godly sorrow that you've hurt God, for being such a miserable wretch, then that's a evidence that God is working on your heart, on your conscience. And so what people could try to do is, they say, well, I need something to sort of Novocaine my conscience here. And so they have religion, to climb the ladder to God, or to try to clean yourself off before God, to try to justify yourself, so that if you were to stand before God, you could try to say, well, I'm clean. Well, I might have done those things, but I've cleaned myself up. No such thing. No such thing. No sacraments. That's the sacraments. Other religions have their other things to do. Islam has its five, you know, pillars of Islam. And there's always things to do. Even the witches have their sabbats they do, and they do these rituals, and they do all these things. They're trying to get to where they're getting to, and they're trying to do it themselves. And maybe they've hardened their hearts when they have the conscience pricking them, as Pharaoh did. Well, the lowness of man is foundational to the gospel truth. The lowness and the depravity of man. And this is a message that, of course, gets left by the wayside as churches go on. The Anglican Church, the Evangelical Church in America, and various other churches have left aside this painful business of telling other sinners around them what miserable sinners they are according to God's law. See, after a while, being the bad cop with the Word of God raining on everyone's parade starts to become a bit of a nuisance. The neighborhood starts to get a little tired of hearing that sort of thing. And they would rather hear something a little more positive. And they would rather have a little bit more of a pick-me-up. And so you see, churches go that way. And they leave aside the convicting things and the hard things and the things that remind you that you're inadequate and that you're headed to hell and that you're not good enough to be justified by yourself before a holy God. And they leave that aside because that's too straight and too cutting and too convicting. And then you see people say things like, that's just hellfire and brimstone preaching. That's because the people who say that have hard hearts. They have hard hearts. And so as it goes, God will grant sinners repentance unto salvation. And so the lowness of man and man's deserving destruction becomes very clear as you read the New Testament and the Old Testament. Lord willing, we'll be back after the break.
This is 24/7 World Radio, home of Eric John Phelps and Vatican Assassins.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is 24/7 World Radio.
/7 World Radio, watching the prayer, and we're back. And as we continue here, I want to emphasize the very lowness of man and the very highness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what ends up happening invariably is the apostate church gets infiltrated by Jesuitism and ends up catering to man, and man becomes somewhat lifted up in his description, and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his purity and righteousness and magnitude, the magnitude of his stature, becomes tarnished, diminished, and shrunken. And this has been happening for quite some time, much to the delight of Satan. And so the way this shows itself a lot of times is what you call humanism. There's a great sermon called 10 Shekels and a Shirt. I suggest you listen to the sermon 10 Shekels and a Shirt. And what he discusses is the prophet for hire, or the priest for hire in the Old Testament, who decided to do the priestly duties for basically 10 shekels and a nice shirt. 10 shekels and a shirt. And what he ends up boiling the sermon down to towards the end is the perverse focus and emphasis on man. Humanism. And the way that, I'm not going to just throw these terms out and then throw mud on them, I'll put some definition to it. The point of the sermon has to do with what happens when salvation message gets sort of twisted. And you'll see it in churches, you'll see it, and you'll hear it too. If man is the chief end of man, basically they say things like, serve the Lord because, why? Because you'll avoid disease. Humanism. Serve the Lord because you'll benefit other people by delivering them from a life of destruction. True, but still humanistic. Maybe a lowercase h. Memorize the Bible because it'll help you make wise decisions. How about this? Give to the Lord and he'll give back to you. Or how about, that can be taken in extreme direction, but it can also be taken in a more subtle and soft direction. It's still humanistic. It's still man-centered. For the benefit of man. You know what he boiled it down to in that sermon, 10 shekels and a shirt? Like I said before, the happiness of man. The happiness of man. To make man happier. Healthier. Happier. Do this because why? Because it'll end up making you happier. because it'll end up benefiting you, because you or your loved ones will benefit from it. That's a mess, and it's rottenness, and it's unsound, and it's humanistic. That's what humanism is. Putting the benefit of man at the center. The benefit of man. Well, of course, the worldly religions can get on board with that, or the worldly secular crowds can get on board with the benefits to man. The benefits to man. Alleviating hunger, alleviating poverty, benefiting man. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, but therein lies the slippery part. Benefit of man. Or for the praise of man. True Bible-based preaching ought to be for the benefit of God. How about this? Serve the Lord because the Lord Jesus Christ deserves the full reward for his sufferings. How about that? Say no to sin because Jesus Christ deserves for you to say no to sin. Honor your father and your mother. Don't blaspheme. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't steal. This is the Decalogue. We're not even under the law. But these good things should be done. Why? Because the Lord deserves it to be so. Because he deserves it. Why do you say no to lustful pornography and other things? Because he deserves it. That's why. Because he, but it's going to cost me. He deserves it. But my friends do that. He deserves it. He deserves for you to be separate from those friends then. That's what he deserves. So you can try to monkey around, and this is what, the more apostate the days go, and these organizations and these churches get softer and softer and softer, they start to rely more and more on justifications which play right into the hands of, well, how is this going to benefit you? How can we talk these sinners into doing what God wants them to do? How is it going to benefit them, you know? How is it going to benefit their families? How is it going to benefit, you know, their life, you know? We can maybe make an appeal on those grounds to try to get them to do the right thing. Well, how about this? Because Jehovah deserves for you to do this or that. Or Jehovah deserves for you not to do this or that. Don't talk that way to her. Don't talk that way to your wife. Why? Because God deserves for you not to talk that way to her. Because he told you not to. Or whatever the application is. Because he deserves it. That's why. Not because of the happiness of man. So getting back to what I was saying, the lowness of man. When you have a man-centered message or a man-pandering message, then you end up playing to the hand of man. And your focus becomes on, well, how is this going to benefit man? You know, well, why should I pray? Well, here's why you should pray. Because you'll get closer to the Lord. And because you'll have wisdom. And because you will not do sinning things. You'll spend your time praying. But these are all seemingly good reasons, but they're all benefit of man-centric. Just ask who benefits. Man. If your answer is man, 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 then you know that that's a humanistic way of thinking. How about this? Because God told you to. Because God deserves it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for your sinful soul, and he deserves for you to spend time with him. That's why you should pray if you're a saved Christian. Why do we say no to these Jesuit jabs? Because God deserves for us to have a holy temple. That's why. Why do we own guns? Because God deserves for us to be able to protect our lives and our families and our Bibles and our ability to preach the gospel. That's why. And also because God says to, what? Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's why God deserves for you to turn off the sinful movies or the sinful thing or this or that. And to be a good example to your coworkers and to your neighborhood by being prepared for situations. Because then God gets, they start to say, wow, he's got his life situated a certain way. I wonder why that is. He seemed to be awfully prepared. He seemed to be awfully in the know. He seemed to have a calm, cool demeanor. Now, I shouldn't lose my head either. I wonder what it is that makes him tick deep down. Well, God deserves for other people to see that in us. That's what God deserves. God deserves pure worship. That's what God deserves. God deserves for his church not to be an incorporated 501c3 mess. That's what God deserves. God deserves pure, unfettered worship and preaching. That's what God deserves. God deserves for these supposed kings of the earth and these supposed judges and lawmakers and executives of the earth to be exposed and have all their sins exposed. That's what God deserves. God deserves for all the sins to be publicly named and outed. That's what God deserves. God deserves for his standard of righteousness to be proven to be so, to be proven to be right. That's what God deserves. Those who take God's side on an issue deserve... No. Those who... When people take God's side on various issues, supposedly abortion, gay rights, if you take God's side and you say no to murdering babies, God deserves for the conclusions to glorify him. Clean lives. Fixed up homes. A community of people that can produce. I mean, you're seeing the destruction now. It gets all off kilter when you start having fewer and fewer people. It throws a whole monkey wrench into the economy. Well, you're reaping what you sow. God deserves for sins to be proven to be destructive. Yep. And not to be covered up with government action and coddled and so on. So that's the difference you get with a God-centered message and a man-centered message. Read your Bible and pray so that you can, so that what, you can benefit for you? Oh, it's all for you. Oh, that's so sweet, isn't it? Boy, that's going to get you places. No, it needs to be how God is going to benefit and for what he deserves. So I had to get that off my chest. Check that sermon out. 10 shekels and a shirt. Yeah, absolutely amazing. So, having said that, I must also mention that I have been informed that 24/7 World Radio is going to be winding down on this broadcasting radio station. And, you know, to be honest, I don't really exactly know how all the details work in terms of this and that. But I do know that the last broadcasts here, until we can find a new arrangement, will be the end of February. So that gives me, let's see, we have the 9th, that's today, the 16th, that's next Thursday. And the 23rd, that's the following Thursday. So be in prayer about a future arrangement. And let's get on with it here. And let me see here how much. Uh, Ah, here we go. So, I wanted to, yeah, we'll be able to read through that. I'm trying to gauge how long it'll take to finish book 15 in the history of Protestantism. We'll get to this at the next hour and make some good progress. I want to be able to finish this before, you know, time's up. What I must also mention here is one of the high watermarks of the Protestant Reformation, the King James Bible. And one of the fruits of the Protestant Reformation, of course, is not having to go along with state-sponsored groupthink religion. You'll see that if you study the history of the 80 Years' War, you would do very well to study out the history of the 80 Years' War. Because some of the maneuvers back then is the same that's going on right now. Basically, Rome using the king to make people's lives difficult and trying to cajole them and strong-arm them into essentially going along with what he wants them to do. Sound familiar? Well, here I see one of the great things that came from the Protestant Reformation was freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, something we kind of take for granted in America. And I see there's some committee hearings going on, and these former Twitter executives are being raked across the coals. Boy, it feels good to see them being questioned and so on. Lord willing, we'll be back after the break. 24/7 World Radio, watch into prayer.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii Reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour, and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicolas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio, home of Eric John Phelps and Vatican Assassins.
World Radio, Watch Under Prayer. And we're back. And I wanted to mention some things here that I'm seeing. And it just reminds me of the age-old struggles that have gone on as Satan wages war against the fruits of godly men. And one of those fruits is the ability to speak the truth and not having to live in lies. If you want an interesting experience, you'll read two things. One of them is called Plato's The Cave. It's where this man is in the cave, and then he gets out of the cave and he sees the sun. Everyone inside the cave is deceived by these figures and shadows that appear on the wall. And then this guy is finally able to get up out of the cave. And he realizes that something's not right in Denmark. Or how's that phrase? Something's rotten in Denmark. And he, once he sees the sun, no matter how much he's back in the cave, he can never unsee what he saw. He can never unsee it. He can never forget. He can go back in there, and he can try, which he doesn't, but he could try, and he can try to be browbeaten by all the people back in the cave about how ridiculous an idea the sun is, but he can never unsee the sun. That's the sort of thing you see in Plato's The Cave. I recommend that. It's an interesting short little thing. And going along with free speech and the ability to speak the truth goes this thing that happens when you read Solzhenitsyn's Live Not by Lie. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian, and he was essentially survived the Russian gulag system. And of course, the gulag system, when they talk about totalitarianism, these people in the universities reveal a little bit too much of their left-wingedness because they only ever emphasize the bad things that come from the right, the so-called fascists, the so-called, you know, Nazis and so on. But they never emphasize the multitude magnitude more death, destruction, camps, fear, secret police that come from living under their brand of government, which is leftist socialist communism. They never want to point out any of those leftist dirty laundries. Nevertheless, my point is not to get into left-right. My point is not to talk about the Stasi or the secret police or any other thing. What I'm merely saying is being able to speak the truth. Alexander Solzhenitsyn and various people who have grown up in those oppressive systems, they write things like, well, we couldn't speak the truth about how we really felt for fear of being taken away. Everyone knew that there was things that you can't say outside the home. There's stuff you can talk about at the dinner table, but you can't go talking about that stuff anyplace else. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? What happens if you start talking about the black crime in the major cities? Well, you can talk about that around the dinner table, but you go ahead into your workplace and you start talking about that, and you get labeled a racist or a bigot, and then you get called into HR and they fire you. Well, no, we won't. Okay, so maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but people are not going to be your friend. And people are not going, and they're going to push for you to be demoted. And they're going to not tolerate those types of ideas. What about the idea that these vaccines, these jabs, are killing people, hurting people, maiming people? Well, Twitter and all these so-called free speech overlords, censored, took down, deplatformed, left and right, left and right. This has been going on for years now. I was a little bit disturbed when I started seeing YouTube videos. Of course, YouTube's owned by Google, who is owned by Alphabet Inc., who is essentially a CIA Jesuit creation. I was disturbed when I started seeing these YouTube videos that I sent to myself. All of a sudden, video has been taken down. Account has been disabled, and so on. I sent myself dozens and dozens and dozens of what I thought were helpful YouTube videos over the years. And now most of them are, you know, a video is not available. I just bank on it. Video is not available. You know, they'll put up the open face. Well, it's violating copyright. A lot of it's not violating copyright at all. It's people whose thinking goes against the main Jesuit narratives. Okay. That's what's really behind a lot of the stuff you see playing out in our boob tubes all the time. Republicans now grilling people in Congress. It's really, you have to dig deeper and study the Freemasonic connection. You have to study the Counter-Reformation ties and so on. So free speech is, you know, essential and a blessing of liberty and envied the world over and attempted to be copied and, you know, what is the word? Appreciated by others, you know. And so, yeah, you don't have to live in lies. Now, in America and in much of the Western world, what they're attempting to do is they're attempting to force you to live in lies for fear of hate speech. So if you say there's no such thing as a woman who's a man or a man who's a woman, there's no such thing as they, them, and all these pronoun things. The Bible says that in the beginning, God made them male and female. The Bible says that there's two genders. There's not 15. And it also says that you can't just change genders. So not only are there just two, but you don't even get to pick which one you are. God did. God made that decision. And of course, man, in his unending desire to rid himself of Jehovah, seeks to just do whatever he wants to do. To the extent that he would try to decide which gender he is. Wow, there's a mind trip. No, that's not so. And so this is the job of preaching. This is the job of the Bible believers, is to ferret out why that's not so. And having the ability to have free speech allows you to say what you're thinking, to say the truth. It's the freedom of the preach that makes it so valuable. There was a time when, even in Virginia, at Williamsburg, I was there, you had to be part of the Anglican Church, or you had to pay a little money and you can be part of the acknowledged Presbyterian Church. But you couldn't just go off and do what you wanted to do as part of a Baptist church, because that was unrecognized, and so on. So, you know, something to wrestle with. Of course, you can look up John Leland. I recommend that too. John Leland and his influence on the Baptist Bill of Rights, securing individual liberties. Now, you can learn a lot about a people based on what they've suffered, based on what they've struggled with, to find out what they went through in order to get to where they are. And one of the things that many of the American colonists struggled with, well, actually their grandparents and great-grandparents, was the fires of persecution under the Spanish Inquisition in the Netherlands and in the Spanish holdings and the Huguenot in France, under the French kings, and the persecutions at the hands of the papacy. So that was a big part of America. That's sort of an undertone in America's Protestant and Baptist Bible-based heritage, struggling with that, struggling with the established church state and the so-called Anglican Church, which was taken over by Jesuitism, Church of England, messing with the prayer books and so on. So that is also what drove the desire for the separation of church and state. It didn't say separation of Bible with organized government, or separation of, you know, men with conviction and the Holy Spirit and a Bible in their pocket can't be in positions of political power. No. So that whole separation of church and state thing has been completely misapplied. And so the freedom of speech allows you to walk in the truth. Well, what they're attempting to undermine is that very thing, using proxies like Twitter and Facebook and all these other intelligence agency, you know, entities. But without the understanding of what the Jesuits have been up to, it might seem like this is a Johnny-come-lately thing. But it's not. You look and see Abraham Lincoln suppressed journalists, Northern journalists, during the war between the states. Men from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland, Ohio, got suppressed. They were jailed. There was Lincoln was jailing. Look it up. Go ahead. There's many books. The South was right. Everything you were taught about the Civil War was a lie, and these types of things. There's all kinds of. Oh, you have no idea. So we're just repeating so much history. And if you don't know what Rome's been up to and how they've been up to it for all these years, then these modern day things are, you know, shocking and jaw-dropping and new. But then when you see what Rome has been up to for all these years, you read these old books, read Vatican Assassins 3, read what these men were struggling with against the Jesuit order. You see the same things over and over and over again. And you know, the true history of what actually drove America to a civil war wasn't a civil war. The South wasn't trying to take over Washington, D.C. and throw out Abraham Lincoln. They just wanted to leave. That's not a civil war. It wasn't a civil war when George Washington and the Continentals fought against England. They were trying to get on a boat and take over the throne of England. That would have been a civil war. It wasn't a civil war. It was, we're done here. We're our own thing. We're independent from you now. And the King of England said, no, you're not. The South, what did they say? We're done here. We're independent from you. We're doing our own thing. And what did Abraham Lincoln say? No, you're not. And so on. So it goes on and on. Freedom of speech. Ah, I'm seeing two things. I see these hearings being conducted. The House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government holds its first hearings. They're doing that now. Today and yesterday, I guess maybe just today. And there's been some interesting quotes and questionings. You know, you see these videos. They're 4 and 5 minutes long. I think these congressmen, this is Congress now, the House of Congress, not the Senate. That's a different thing. This is the House of Representatives. They are grilling these, you know, who's this guy that he's asking these questions of? This piece of, I want to say piece of garbage, but I'll come close to say, this notorious individual. They're asking him hard questions and so on. I don't know that anything's going to come of this. You know, I kind of don't think it will. Oh, we go. Maybe I'm just cynical. But there's also a second thing going on where it's not just the Committee on Weaponization of Government, but also, what was it? I wrote it down. The one on Twitter executives and the freedom of speech. So Marjorie Taylor Greene and the gal from Colorado, Boebert, and others were grilling the Twitter executives. And so I saw that too. So these two things going on. The Twitter executives were ultimately exposed recently by Elon Musk. And so now they're being questioned, and it's this big thing related to, like, hey, we have rules about who can be a lobbyist and who can go from government into private contracted, you know, positions like Twitter. And why did Twitter have so much FBI presence? Well, because all the intel agencies, like we've said, intelligence agencies, the big tech, and the Jesuit order all go together. It's all part of their little hobby of spying and controlling for what's called the Inquisitorial Counter-Reformation Intelligence Gathering. That's all. We've said this for years. Nothing's changed. 24/7 World Radio, watching the prayer. When you catch on to the truth, you can stay with the truth, and it doesn't have to be updated every 5 minutes. Stay tuned. Lord bless. We'll be back after the break.
This is 24/7 World Radio.
From